Before we get back to our conversation, a quick word about our planned conversation for tomorrow. Lyme disease is now a threat in every state. It is very treatable, but it gets misdiagnosed quite a lot. Have you or someone close to you ever had to deal with Lyme disease? If you're a doctor, what do you know about why we are seeing more people being bitten by ticks? Leave us a voicemail, 855-236-1A1A. What questions do you have about Lyme disease, or how has this affected you and your family? Tell us your story, 855-236-1A1A, or you can use our new app, 1A Vox Pop, to send us a radio-quality audio file and to keep up to date on future topics. We'll share some of your stories tomorrow on 1A. Novelist Julie Schumacher has written a comedy about modern-day American academia. The Shakespeare Requirement is a sequel to her 2014 bestseller called Dear Committee Members. What some readers might not find so funny is the seriousness of the themes she explores, especially how the humanities have steadily been devalued in higher education and more widely in parts of our culture. Julie Schumacher is a professor of English and creative writing at the University of Minnesota, and she joins us from Minnesota Public Radio. Professor Schumacher, welcome to 1A.
Thanks very much.
We'd love to hear from you if you are a fan of the novels of Julie Schumacher, or if you have questions or thoughts about the state of the humanities in higher education. What are you seeing? If you are in the humanities, a student, an instructor, what kinds of concerns do you have about the future of your field? Or are you hopeful? Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, tweet us at 1A, or comment on our Facebook page. Professor Schumacher, for those who haven't read your novels, tell us briefly about them. They're set in the Midwest at a fictional school called Payne University, P-A-Y-N-E University. Jason Fitger is a main character. What's causing him so much angst in the English department?
Well, the first novel that I wrote about Jason Fitger is a letter of recommendation novel. The entire book consists of Fitger's vehement, angry, often angry letters of recommendation about the state of the humanities, the state of higher education. I had great fun writing that novel, and I got very fond of Jason Fitger, even though he's extremely cantankerous. He lacks all diplomatic skills. And I wanted to see what would happen to him if I made him chair of his department at Payne. So that's the beginning of the Shakespeare Requirement.
Let's be clear. When we're talking about the humanities, what do we mean?
English, literature, social sciences, history, philosophy, religion, classics. All those things that I think can get pushed aside in the current enthusiasm for the STEM fields.
What made you decide to be an English professor?
I dabbled around in a lot of different ideas. I was going to be a Spanish teacher at one point. I was an undergrad major in Spanish and Latin American studies, a major that I don't use at all anymore, but is still meaningful to me and was terrific. I think I'm living proof that an undergrad degree in the humanities doesn't necessarily lead directly to a fixed spot in the economy, but leads to a more interesting wandering path in life.
That's kind of what I wanted to get at with you. And I feel like that's part of this, maybe romantic notion is the wrong word, but it's this sense of the humanities being this kind of a woo-woo thing that is more intrinsic than extrinsic. I mean, I think everyone who's seen Dead Poets Society from 1989 remembers that scene with Robin Williams as the English teacher at the elite prep school, and that scene where he talks about the importance of poetry.
We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion. Medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for.
Robin Williams is John Keating in Dead Poets Society. What do you think of that notion of these things being what we stay alive for? Do we still view it that way?
I still view it that way. I think the arts are things that add enormous meaning and beauty to people's lives. But beyond the arts, I think in my novels and in person, I would champion not just the arts, poetry, painting, music, theater, but, history, English. I think people are being persuaded that these disciplines don't matter, that their parents are persuading their undergrad students do something practical, study something practical, study business, study accounting, or communications rather than English or literature or classics, philosophy. I took a class in Chinese history as an undergraduate. Have I used that knowledge? No, but I think it's terrific that I took that class. It was important that I know something about a part of the world I have never set foot in. I think that that's extremely important, that we have broad knowledge of the world. That's what higher education should be.
Tell me a little bit about the students that you deal with. Are you usually dealing with students who are majoring in English or creative writing, kids who are just taking the requirement class? What's your student body overall kind of look like?
I teach everything from freshman writing to MFA graduate students in fiction. So great variety at the University of Minnesota.
Give me a sense of the kind of students you're dealing with. Do they come to your classroom ready to write, or do you find that they tend to need a lot of remediation?
Well, you know, the University of Minnesota has gotten, it's a harder school to get into than it used to be. We have terrific undergrad students. The freshmen are bright, bright, bright. That doesn't mean that they necessarily write well. So I do, you know, spend a lot of time disillusioning students, even in creative writing classes, that yes, grammar counts. You cannot write a novel if you don't have a grasp on style and grammar. That's a painful realization to some freshmen, but we get over that hurdle pretty quickly.
Can I just like kneel at the altar of what you are saying right now? I mean, I hearing people say, oh, you shouldn't go into English, you should go into communication. No, you
no.
should pass English, and then you should go into communication if you can write. I'm telling you, there's something about like getting, and I don't encounter this at this level of my career, but before, it makes me nervous to get a script that's got all these typos and spelling errors and grammar errors. And I'm like, well, damn, if you don't know the difference between there, and there, what else is wrong with this thing?
Oh, I hear you. I've had undergrads tell me before, well, I shouldn't be in this composition class. I don't need to take this course because I'm going to be a lawyer. And I think you don't need to know how to write clearly if you're going to be a lawyer.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
I didn't mean to laugh out loud. Go ahead.
Oh, no, my goodness. Everybody needs to be able to think clearly, to have an imagination, to be able to analyze, to sift, to discuss, to verbalize their ideas. I mean, that's incredibly important. It doesn't matter whether you're going to be a dentist or an auto mechanic.
I should say, in fairness to people who don't necessarily rock out at the humanities, I understand the cultural conversation around them, and that's part of what you talk about in your novels. Among other schools, it's playing out right now at the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point, which has proposed dropping 13 majors in the humanities and the social sciences, English, philosophy, history, sociology, Spanish, and others, and replacing them with programs that have what they consider to be clearer career pathways as a way of addressing enrollment going down, a multi-million dollar deficit. Clearly, UW-Stevens Point isn't the only school dealing with that. But I wonder if you empathize with that at all, with this need to make a university rigorous and diverse, but also just economically sustainable.
Oh, I totally empathize. I think universities are in a very difficult spot in terms of the economics. And I understand that Stevens Point is in financial trouble and needs to find a way to address that trouble. But to me, how can you call yourself a university if it is not possible to major in that school in English, philosophy, history, sociology, languages? That's not a university. It's a vocational school. And certainly there are reasons for people to go to vocational schools. I have nothing against that. But do not call yourself a university if that's what you're doing. It to me also, it brings up the Brave New World, Aldous Huxley's novel, that there's a desire to fit students like cogs into the great wheel of the marketplace. And again, that should not be the job of a university.
We did get a number of comments from some of you who are not fired up about the humanities in universities for an array of reasons. One listener writes, if students find the liberal arts classes interesting, then they should take them. The problems arise if they major in such an area, either graduate or do not, and find themselves in a low-paying job and a very large student loan. People should major in a field that pays well. Then they have the rest of their lives to take lifelong learning classes or just visit the library. Professor, what do you think?
Well, there have been a couple of articles in the Wall Street Journal that I think would dispute that idea. Recently, there was a Wall Street Journal editorial that said that a liberal arts degree can be a great launching pad for a career in just about any industry. That was somebody in the tech fields saying that. Also, a couple of years ago, the same paper, the Wall Street Journal, did a sort of study on salaries of English and liberal arts majors and found that right out of the gate, yes, a business major does out-earn an English major. But after, you know, a certain number of years, the English major more than catches up. Because again, these are people with a broad, diverse education, an ability to think on their feet. They have imagination, they have critical and analytical skills, and they have not narrowed themselves down into one particular function in the marketplace when, in fact, we don't know what the marketplace is going to look like in 5 years.
It's also kind of fascinating that in tech, I moved here from San Francisco, and there are a lot of people in Silicon Valley who are actively looking for people with an education in the humanities to make their products more palatable to the public. I mean, I think it amazes people when they find out that Steve Jobs studied calligraphy at Reed College in Oregon, and that's why the Apple was such a beautiful device. And when computers were designed to be this kind of like hunk of silicon and plastic in the corner that was not at all elegant to use.
No, I think he's a perfect example. Reed College and calligraphy.
Well, then why don't more people see it that way? Like, why do people just think that the humanities are this kind of she-she woo-woo thing that just rich kids who don't need to work for a living do?
I think partly it is the fear because of the price tag of education. Education, higher ed, is expensive. And parents who are helping their kids pay for education, or the kids themselves, the students themselves, are looking at the possibility of debt, which is very scary, and looking at these massive price tags. When education was less expensive, I think people worried less and were more flexible, you know, thinking, oh, study whatever you like and then you'll see what you want to do later. But if you're coming out with $80,000 in debt, it's a different ballgame. It's nervous making.
CSN Ironclad wrote on our website, the1a.org, many schools are ditching their humanities departments for good reason. They have become nothing more than academic jokes that trash Western culture and are social justice warrior fortresses. Good riddance. To that point, the Washington Post made this observation about what's happening at UW-Stevens Point. Quote, the push away from liberal arts and toward workplace skills is championed by conservatives who see many four-year colleges and universities as politically correct institutions that graduate too many students without practical job skills but with liberal political views. Unquote. What do you think?
I think that's a very, popular item in the press these days to talk about, you know, this, the political difficulties on college campuses, which of course do exist. You know, they exist all over our culture right now, the difficulties between left and right. And those things, of course, come up very much on college campuses because campuses are full of young, passionate people who reflect their society. But to me, that's a very wrong-headed way to describe what happens in the classrooms in higher ed, which, in my experience, nobody I know is trying to instill leftist ideologies in their students. That's not what we do.
There's a scene from the movie Orange County. It's a classroom scene. Orange County came out back in 2002 that might give some cause for concern for a different reason. Listen.
Now, when I say Romeo and Juliet, who comes to mind?
Dana?
Claire Danes.
That's right, Claire Danes. Who else?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right? Who else? Well, you know, someone else was involved in that movie who in some ways is as famous as Leonardo DiCaprio. And his name's William Shakespeare. And some great movies are based on his plays. Hamlet. West Side Story. The Talented Mr. Ripley. Waterworld. Gladiator. Chocolat?
That's a scene from the 2002 movie Orange County. Julie, what does this clip make you think of?
Yeah, it's a terrific satire. I mean, the academic world is very easy and very fun to satirize because it is a weird little world. You know, the university is populated by lots of eccentric people, and there's a culture clash and a meeting of minds that, again, it's easy to make fun of, and I've done a bit of that fun in my novel, but I also think so highly of what we do at the University of Minnesota and in higher education in general. Again, I think we're teaching people to think on their feet. And that's what we really need. Your previous guest, Arne Duncan, was talking about the importance of being able to find out for yourself and for your society what's the truth, you know, critical thinking. It's so crucial.
I know we have to wind down, but Jan writes, in the 60s at the University of Tulsa, I was required to take a year of humanities. Monday was music, Wednesday was art, and Friday was literature, all from the same historical period. It was the most amazing course for cultural literacy, and the University of Tulsa no longer offers the course. Before we go, for students of yours who get a good humanities education, talk to parents directly for just a second. What's the difference that you see in those students compared to the ones who don't take the humanities seriously? Before we go,
I think they're better suited to enter a marketplace that's uncertain, that we just don't know what the future is going to look like. So I think, number one, it is practical to enter the liberal arts and to have that as a major or just as a passion. And number two, this is a way in which people find beauty and meaning in their lives. It does help us lead meaningful lives and, you know, for some people, keeps them going.
Julie Schumacher is an English professor and also a professor of creative writing at the University of Minnesota. Her new novel, The Shakespeare Requirement, is a sequel to Dear Committee Members, and The Shakespeare Requirement comes out tomorrow. Professor Schumacher, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks very much.
Remember, you can subscribe to 1A's podcast on the NPR One app or whatever app you like. We would be honored if you'd write us a review. And if you're new to podcasts, you'll find all the links to listen online at npr.org/1A. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.